This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A new CDC advisory panel voted today to recommend Americans get the shot of COVID based on individual-based decision-making. It comes a day after the panel voted to change the combined MMRV shot for children, separating out the chickenpox dose. ABC's Selena Wang says those changes have sparked backlash and confusion.
There's also been notable pushback from lawmakers, especially from Republican Senator Bill Cassidy, who's the chair of the Senate Health Committee. He is telling the American public that they shouldn't trust any of the changes that come from this CDC advisory vaccine panel.
The CDC's director still needs to sign off on the recommendations. The Senate today failing to pass two stopgap measures to avert a government shutdown at the end of the month. An earlier bill passed the House. The Pennsylvania State Police is investigating the death of an 18-year-old high school student killed during a joint operation by the FBI and ATF yesterday in Beaver County. This is ABC News.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse and home for the Tom Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
An expanded data center is coming to Wisconsin. With more, here's Civic Media's Stuart J. Waddles.
16 months ago, President Biden was in office campaigning in Racine County, with Microsoft announcing a $3.3 billion investment. Now Microsoft is making another bet on Wisconsin, announcing an additional $4 billion expansion of its Mount Pleasant data center campus. The move brings the company's total investment in the state to more than $7 billion. In a statement, Governor Tony Evers calls it a major boost for jobs and technology growth. During the campaign event last year, Microsoft Vice Chairman and President Brad Smith, who called Racine County home as a child, talked about the statewide impact of the initial spend.
We are creating manufacturing jobs across the state of Wisconsin. As we get steel from near Wausau, as we get chillers from La Crosse, as we get generators from near Madison, this is literally creating jobs across the state of Wisconsin.
Microsoft says the project will support nearly 10,000 jobs, with a caveat of those taking place during peak seasons. Environmental concerns still hang over the project as water use and energy demands remain hot topics. One lawsuit recently pushed the city of Racine to reveal that the data center campus could use 8.4 million gallons of water a year. That estimate does have the city of Racine falling within approved lake limits. Environmental groups also warned about the power needs. They say the Microsoft project and another in Port Washington could call for more power than every home in Wisconsin combined. A separate proposed data center in Caledonia in Racine County is also facing local pushback over farmland lost and rezoning questions. For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go with the free Civic Media app. Download it now from your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
A setback for the Pack. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. The Packers head to Cleveland tomorrow to play the Browns Sunday at noon. Now, yesterday, Tucker Kraft went down with a knee injury and had to undergo testing. Head coach Matt LaFleur at today's press conference on what happened to their leading tight end.
He was practicing and got hurt. So it's unfortunate. It is what it is. I don't think it'll be long term. So that's a positive.
Is IR a possibility?
I don't believe so.
College football, the Badgers at home tomorrow at Camp Randall against Maryland. Game time 11 a.m. It's Wisconsin's first conference game of the season. The Brewers with another win. They beat the Angels 5-2, completing a three-game sweep. Tonight, the Brewers in St. Louis against the Cards. The magic number now at 4.
Tough road trip coming up with travel and all that kind of stuff. Night game, travel the next day and play. Can't take anything for granted. Just got to keep banging away.
That's Pat Murphy with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight and tomorrow, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms. Low tonight in the low 60s, high tomorrow in the low 70s. Partly sunny Sunday, maybe a stray shower, high mid 70s. Drier and pleasant weather into much of next week. Right now it's 73.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
ABC capitulating, pulling Jimmy Kimmel off the air. Mark Jacob.
Fascists look for pretexts. They want excuses to do terrible things. The right wing is looking for excuses to become even more authoritarian than it already is. The Turk thing is their pretext. 2 months ago, Trump was posting about getting rid of Jimmy Kimmel. It didn't have anything to do with Charlie Kirk. Not a thing. That's just a pretext.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we get to know one candidate for Secretary of State, another for the State Senate District number 17, all coming up. Join us.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people, this is the Maggie Dawn Show.
I wouldn't get on this program with all of you fine folks every day and talk about how to do that through voting and through speaking out. I'm here with you every day.
Get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
What are you doing as an elected official? You have no business in an elected office.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
Go Pat, go. Thank you for having me.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth. Here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everyone, and happy Friday, one and all. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. It is the last free ticket Friday of the baseball season. Boy, I don't know about you, because I'm a season ticket holder. I did the presale today, got myself some playoff tickets for our Milwaukee Brewers. Very, very excited. Big win last night. Man, they're just within reach of 100 wins. Mm-hmm. And let's keep those Cubbies at bay. Let's win this division and hopefully bypass the wild card. Folks, it is last free ticket Friday. The word to win this hour, you've got all hour to text this word in via the app to get yourself qualified to win 4 club-level tickets to the Brewers versus the Cincinnati Reds on Friday, September 26th. They may very well be in the hunt for that 100th win and potentially the divisional championship. So, boy, you don't want to miss out on this. It's your last chance. It's an exciting season. What a time to go to a Brewers game, folks. They're at 94 wins with just a handful of games left. Here is the word to win this hour. Text this in via the app. You can get the app for free just by searching for Civic Media wherever you get your apps from. Go ahead and download that. Click on the app. Text this word in right now to get qualified to win those 7:10 September 26th, Friday, September 26th, the 7:10 p.m. game versus the Cincinnati Reds. The word to win is brew. Mm-hmm. B-R-E-W, as in I love the brew crew. Folks, good luck to you. Again, you have a chance to win all this hour for just this hour, so get those text messages rolling in. We've got a really special show for you today. I am joined, as I frequently am, by former U.S. Attorney James Santel. Welcome back to the show, Jim.
Maggie, it is always an honor to be with you, especially on at times and certainly a day like today when, as you say, it's chocked full of hugely important things. Great for you to bring this to your listeners and to everyone out there who needs to listen to all of this, right?
Yeah. Today is special because for the past week in conjunction with Jacob, who helps me every day get the sound ready, my senior producer, Jamie, who helps Jacob get the sound ready. We have had a great review of all kinds of clips from what some of our elected leaders are saying right now in the wake of Charlie Kirk's assassination, but also what Mr. Kirk has said in the past, what our president has said in the past. All of this, of course, in light of Jimmy Kimmel's firing earlier this week. And Jim, I wanted you here with me today, and I wanted to take this entire hour to review some of the sound,
yes,
to review some of the claims that are being made by the GOP about hate speech, about what speech is okay and what's not. Who's saying what kind of speech? What is their platform? What is their reach? What is the impact of that speaker when they say certain things? Because not all speech is created equally, because not all speakers have the same reach.
Right. I often say, Maggie, right? The First Amendment, people say, I can say whatever I want, whenever I want, right? My right is inviolate, and that is wrong. That is simply not wrong. The First Amendment is not an unconditional right.
That's right. It constrains government,
yes,
censorship of individuals. So I want to start with trying, and there's basically three things I want to walk through this hour with you, Jim, and with all of you, our fine listeners. And if you have questions or comments for Jim and I, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Here are the three things that I want to get through this hour. What is hate speech? What is extremism? And is what the GOP, what the MAGA regime is calling hate speech today in the wake of Charlie Kirk's killing, what they're accusing liberals and Democrats of, is that actually hate speech? Do we have a shared understanding of what that is? Do we have a shared understanding of what actually extremism is? And what isn't it important for us to have sort of a common shared understanding?
Basic definition is what you're talking about, right? And that organizes all of this discussion, helps listeners, helps everybody understand the circumstances. Again, the atmosphere in which all of this is being discussed.
Once we have that established, then we have to really understand what is censorship. Now, we outlined what the First Amendment prohibits, which is government censorship. What is the concept of censorship more broadly? What sort of responsibility does a speaker have for the impacts of their speech? We're going to talk about that a bit. And then we're going to take a little walk back in time, and we're going to compare the views of many on the right, many of the MAGA regime, about quote-unquote censorship, you know, a couple years ago, and what their view on censorship appears to be today. And woven into all of that, we're going to be talking about what is really going on here and why each and every one of us, whether you voted for Donald Trump or not, whether or not you're active in politics or not, why each and every one of us needs to be deeply concerned, not just about the tone of our rhetoric, but about the big picture. Who is actually controlling what we see and hear? Because that, my friends, if someone that we do not understand is controlling what we see and hear, what media says, the access to facts and news and reporting that we may be able to obtain, and we can't see that, we can't debate it, we can't call it out, then, dear friends, our democracy is indeed in peril. So let's jump right in. And I want to just say this at the outset. You cannot condemn hate speech and engage in hate speech yourself. And secondly, it is not, in my definition and what I'm offering to you all today, it is not hate speech to correctly call out government actors, behaviors, language by others, and actions that are contrary to our most fundamental democratic principles. That is not hate speech. That is factually talking about, again, the dangerousness of what political leaders are saying and doing. So with that, I wanted to start here because there's been much outcry about, again, what Jimmy Kimmel has said, maybe what, you know, some teacher and thus and such school district said, what maybe some government employee said on their Twitter account. But I want to talk about what the political leadership on both sides of the aisles has been saying. And so we know that there was a killing, a political assassination, not just last week, but a couple of months ago, where a Trump supporter shot and killed a liberal Democratic Minnesota legislator, her husband, and her dog. So let's take a moment and refresh our recollection of what the president had to say when asked on Air Force One if he was calling Governor Walz to offer support or condolences. Take a listen to this.
Have you called the governor yet or been able to speak to any of them?
I don't think I called him. He appointed this guy to a position. I think the governor of Minnesota is so whacked out. I'm not calling him. Why would I call him? I could call him and say, hi, how you doing? The guy doesn't have a clue. He's a mess. So I could be nice and call him, but why waste time?
So very hard to hear. But what he said was basically, why would I call him? This guy doesn't have a clue. I could be nice and call him, but why bother? It's a waste of time.
People,
Mr. President, go ahead, Jim.
Citizens
please.
Of the United States of America, also prominent citizens when it comes to government, have been assassinated, Mr. President, in their home. And your response is, why would I waste my time on that? I should call the governor. No, I don't want to call the governor.
Now, when Nancy Pelosi's husband, an 82-year-old man, was attacked by a Trump supporter in his home, hammered in the head with a skull fracture, this man was seeking to kill Mr. Pelosi and Nancy Pelosi. Here's what Donald Trump had to say then.
We'll stand up to crazy Nancy Pelosi who ruined San Francisco. How's her husband doing, by the way? Anybody know? And she's against building a wall at our border, even though she has a wall around
her
house.
It goes on and on. It's disturbing. And just to recall, of course, Donald Trump Jr., also someone with an enormous platform, perhaps an heir apparent to the MAGA regime, that October posted on X that he had his Halloween costume all figured out with a pair of men's underwear and a hammer, giving voice to conspiracy theories about Mr. Pelosi and frankly making fun of the attack. That was the empathy, the sympathy. There was no call to tamp down rhetoric. There was no outrage from the right in light of these incidents. And we'll talk more about some of the other acts of violence targeting both historically disadvantaged groups and people and also Democrats as our discussion continues this afternoon.
And Maggie, if I can intercede, you know, the other part of this, again, huge issues related to speech that we're going to chat about. Let's talk about what a president is supposed to do. Let's talk about Article 2 that implicitly and explicitly says, yes, it is in these times of crisis when you say these things. I know people talk a lot these days about bringing the country together, and maybe that's an overused phrase. Express the concern of a legitimate leader who is confronting physical violence in your nation, Mr. President, and condemn that activity. There is nothing, there's no hate speech in that at all. Do that right thing and send the right message to everybody, not only because of what has happened, but also because it deters the future behavior as well. If you are the one out there condemning it, and we know in the wake of both of those incidents, we have had more.
So that was Donald Trump's response to the assassination by a Trump supporter of Melissa Hortman and her husband, Mark, in their home in Minnesota in June. That was our president's reaction to a politically motivated attack on Nancy Pelosi and her husband, Paul. Remember, they were trying to kidnap Nancy Pelosi. You heard no outrage when the men that have been charged with the attempted assassination of Pennsylvania's Democratic Governor Josh Shapiro, when he received, I think it was like a Molotov cocktail, was thrown at his house multiple.
His family is in the home at the time. The house is burning.
There was no outrage when a man was convicted of orchestrating a series of shootings at the homes of four Democratic elected officials in New Mexico in 2022. That guy was a Trump supporter. There was no outrage from Donald Trump when his supporters wanted to hang the vice president on January 6th. There was no outrage from the right when a Trump supporter killed the son of an Obama-appointed judge, Judge Esther Salas, in 2020. There was no outrage from the right or Donald Trump or Charlie Kirk himself. When Trump supporters tried to kidnap Michigan's Democratic governor, Gretchen Whitmer. And let's not forget Heather Heyer, an activist that was killed by a Trump supporter in Charlottesville in 2017. When we come back, we talk about the language of fascism and the enemy from within.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Does Trump's big bill end taxes on tips and overtime? No. President Donald Trump's new law exempts certain tip and overtime income from federal tax. But the deductions expire in 2028 and come with limits. Workers earning under $150,000 can deduct up to $25,000 in tips and $12,500 in overtime. Social Security, Medicare, and state taxes still apply. The Tax Policy Center says 2% of households will benefit from the tip provision, saving $1,800. The White House estimates $1,400 in average annual savings from the overtime deduction. I'm Tricia Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Your local civic media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on lacrosseeagle.com/contest-terms. As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. I'm with former U.S. Attorney James Santel. We're digging into what does the First Amendment really mean here in these United States? What is the actual historical record when it comes to what we're talking about as quote-unquote hate speech? Who said what exactly? Because my thesis to all of you, our dear listeners, is this. It is not hate speech to criticize government officials who are engaging in behavior that, when you look objectively at history, is the patterns and the tactics and the strategies employed by fascists or authoritarians. It is not hate speech to call out racist, homophobic, xenophobic, sexist, or other bigoted language. It is not hate speech for there to be consequences for people that engage in that. Now, let me be clear here. Those consequences should never, no matter how offensive, no matter how bigoted, no matter how racist, that consequence should never, in these United States or any functioning democracy, include being shot to death. I've got James Santel with me. We've got all of you. You want to join this conversation, 855-752-4842. Kurt from Madison, say hello to Jim. What you got for us?
Hey, Kurt.
Hi, Jim. I'm just going to say this as the best I can with all due respect. We have to stop discussing Trump like he's a normal person. This individual is not just a sociopath. He's a psychopath. And that's not my opinion. That's experts' things. This guy is a loose cannon, mental loose cannon, out of control. To try to expect him to behave any other way than he has been behaving since he's been in office is just foolhardy. And
I couldn't agree with you more, Kurt. I don't expect him to behave any differently. Now, none of us are psychiatrists. We haven't sat down with him. So again, when you talk to medical professionals, they say, I'm not going to diagnose. But to Kurt's point exactly, I know that Donald Trump will never behave as a president should. He's incapable of it. What Donald Trump has engaged in is indeed hate speech. He has spewed it from the first moment he came down that gilded elevator in his golden tower, his ego effigy to himself in Manhattan, and called all Mexicans rapists and murderers. That was the start of Donald Trump's hate speech. Maybe not the start, but his hate speech as a viable presidential candidate. He was the guy that engaged in the birtherism conspiracy. One could argue that that's hate speech because it's rooted in this country's long and storied history of racism. But in case you don't want to believe Kurt or I, let's refresh our collective recollections. Now, remember, in the wake of Charlie Kirk's killing, here's what at least one Republican leader had to say about calling folks that we disagree with politically enemies and fascists. Let's listen to what Mike Johnson said. The warning, the call to be, you know, perhaps better Americans. Let's hear what Mike Johnson had to say. This is Cut 50.
Leaders cannot call their political opponents Nazis and fascists and enemies of the state because they disagree with their policy priorities. I mean, this is something we should have learned in grade school. This type of language spurs on depraved people, deranged people, who take that as a cue.
Okay, then, Speaker Johnson, let's take a listen to our president.
The divide in American politics today is between these far-left fascists led by Harris and her group. We have a fascist person running who's incompetent.
She's a Marxist, communist, fascist, socialist. She's not actually a socialist. She's gone past that. Somebody's got to explain this woman. This is a radical left Marxist, communist, fascist.
And this from our president.
We have the outside enemy and we have the enemy from within. And I say that the enemy from within is far more dangerous than the outside enemy, because I think the bigger problem is the enemy from within, not even the people that have come in and destroying our country. By the way, totally destroying our country, the towns, the villages, they're being inundated. But I don't think they're the problem in terms of election day. I think the bigger problem are the people from within. We have some very bad people. We have some sick people, radical left lunatics. And I think they're and it should be very easily handled by, if necessary, by National Guard, or if really necessary, by the military.
But the enemy from within, they are doing damage to this country.
It's the enemy from within, all the scum that we have to deal with that hate our country. That's a bigger enemy than China and Russia.
They were saying, he said the enemy from within. Of course, it's Adam Schiff. These are bad people. These are sick people and bad people.
We have an enemy from within. They hate to talk about it. But could you imagine? Could you imagine?
They're just bad people. And until we get a fair and free press in this country, they're just bad people.
And I say it to people. We have a bigger problem, in my opinion, with the enemy from within, and it drives them crazy when I use that term. But we have an enemy from within. We have people that are really bad people that I really think want to make this country unsuccessful.
One thing I have been, even the enemy, because they are the enemy, what they've said, even that enemy too, and they're really the enemy. They're the enemy of the people, the press.
But I just think they're really, we have some, and you know, I talk about the enemy from within, and they do have, they're the greatest con people in the world. Oh, they talk about how dare, that's a threat to democracy. They're the threat to democracy.
No, Mr. President, I'm not. I don't agree with you. I don't agree with any of your policies, and I won't be silenced. I won't be afraid of saying that what you're doing is the things that authoritarians and fascists do, because it is my freedom of speech to say that. We're going to continue to set the record straight, call spades a spade, and call ducks duck if they quack. And
you're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 1490 WLCX.
For Civic Media News, I'm Melissa Kay. Those gathered at the state capitol were greeted by the strings of the Wisconsin Youth Symphony Orchestra on Thursday for the state superintendent's State of Education Address. Dr. Jill Underley took to the podium to share the story of education in the Badger State.
Across Wisconsin, our public schools are strong. They are resilient places where every child belongs, where diversity is celebrated, not demonized, where differences aren't feared, but embraced and seen as opportunities to grow together as human beings.
Dr. Underley explained the opposition public schools are facing from the federal government.
Because instead of being a true partner, the Federal Department of Education is using critical funding as a bargaining chip, threatening or withholding it with little or no notice, while demanding compliance with unclear and unlawful demands. They're working to undermine the very things that make our schools strong, welcoming and inclusive places.
She said when we overlook students, it shows up in their learning.
And those who reduce a student's success to a single test score miss the full story, the full human behind that number.
Dr. Underley also addressed the school voucher system.
And here's the truth. We are starving one system while funding another. We cannot afford to keep pulling resources away from public schools to fund private ones and expect both to thrive.
She said the next chapter's pages are still blank.
Will we be the generation that looked away as our schools crumbled? Or will we be the ones who stood up, kept our promise, and chose to write a different story?
What happens next is up to Wisconsinites.
Let us choose to write a better story for our kids, for our schools, for the Wisconsin we believe in. Thank you.
For Civic Media News, I'm Melissa Kay.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The new season of Saturday Night Live is just around the corner, and the show has announced guest hosts for the first three episodes of season 51. The new season premieres October 4 and will feature Bad Bunny as the show's host. This will be Bad Bunny's first time hosting, although he's appeared previously as a musical guest. The musical guest on October 4th will be Doja Cat. Week 2 will feature SNL alum Amy Poehler on October 11th. She will be joined by musical guest role model. Amy Poehler was a regular cast member from 2001 to 2008 and a former Weekend Update anchor. This will be her second solo stint as a host on the show. She previously hosted with Tina Fey in 2015 and hosted solo in 2010. Sabrina Carpenter will pull double duty as both host and musical guest on October 18th. Her album Man's Best Friend just debuted at number 1 on the Billboard 200 in August. She's been a musical guest, but this will be Carpenter's hosting debut. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 1490 WLCX.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight and tomorrow, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms. Low tonight in the low 60s. High tomorrow in the low 70s. Partly sunny Sunday, maybe a stray shower, high mid-70s. Drier and pleasant weather into much of next week. Right now it's 73.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone.
If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media Southeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief Stuart Waddles. And it's a bar band Friday night, so Civic Media's own Terry Barr joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
This is the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Maggie Dawn. I'm joined by former U.S. Attorney James Santone for this special episode. I've been working on this. I've been thinking about this. I've been listening to so much audio, which I have to say has been gross on a personal level. But what we're trying to get at is, what is hate speech? And is the reaction from the right basically blaming all of Democrats, every liberal, for the assassination of Charlie Kirk? Is that warranted? Is that based in reality? Because yes, I have called Donald Trump's policies, his rhetoric, fascist. I've said that he is taking the steps to move the United States into authoritarianism. That is not hate speech, because I believe in good faith that it reflects reality.
And it's premised upon executive orders and actions and things that have been done, provable things that are in the record of our nation.
So we just shared with you Mike Johnson saying there's no place in our political discourse for any leader to call anybody the enemy within. And then we played you minutes of Donald Trump calling all Democrats, all liberals, calling me, calling Jim, calling every one of you that didn't vote for him or maybe disagree with him, enemies from within. We played you minutes of Donald Trump calling Kamala Harris every name under the book, fascist, communist, Marxist, all of it. And we have more. Now, keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, we're not looping any of that. Those are all individual, standalone, discrete statements by the president. And we're not done yet. Let's take a listen to our president and some of his other colorful language.
It was absolutely disgusting what he was doing.
Knock the crap out of him, would you? Seriously. Okay? Just knock the hell. I promise you, I will pay for the legal fees. I promise.
I would bring back waterboarding, and I'd bring back a hell of a lot worse than waterboarding.
I'd like to punch him in the face.
I think you'd have riots. I think you'd have riots.
But you also had people that were very fine people on both sides. Proud Boys, stand back and stand by.
I am your warrior. I am your justice. And for those who have been wronged and betrayed, I am your retribution. I am your retribution.
You can fully expect to be shot as you are leaving that store.
Marxists, fascists, and the radical left thugs that live like vermin within the confines of our country.
Other than day one, we're closing the border and we're drilling, drilling, drilling. After that, I'm not a dictator.
They're poisoning the blood of our country. Now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole. That's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country.
And sometimes revenge can be justified.
Well, they're not so stupid, but they have to be taught. Now, if you had one really violent day, like a guy like Mike Kelly, put him in charge, Congressman Kelly, put him in charge for one day. Mike, would you say, he's right here, he's a great congressman. Would you say, Mike, that if you were in charge, you would say, oh, please, don't touch them. Don't touch them. Let them rob your store. Let all these stores go out of business, right? They don't pay rent. The city doesn't have money. The whole, it's a chain of events. It's so bad. One rough hour, and I mean real rough, the word will get out, and it will end immediately. End immediately.
Stunning, shocking to hear that, in not only in sequence, individually, any one of them, the name calling, vermin, a bloodbath.
Yeah, it's horrifying. Hour. And Barry from Spooner correctly points out the problem here is that hate speech, extremism, doesn't have a commonly accepted definition. Indeed, sir, I agree with you, Barry from Spooner. Here's what I'm trying to accomplish by listening to this. Find me any Democrat that has the power of Donald Trump or even some of the most powerful radio and podcast hosts like Mr. Kirk, like Alex Jones, like Rush Limbaugh. Find me anyone on the left that has said anything, that has any reach at all, any influence, that has said things of this volume, acuity,
this venom,
and specificity. Yes. Now, let's talk about Mr. Kirk, shall we? And folks on the phone, stay there. We're going to get to the phones. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Everybody's going to get a chance at this, but I want us to hear what we are talking about. So let's start with a massive Charlie Kirk montage. I've called what Mr. Kirk has said during his lifetime sexist, racist, homophobic, xenophobic, and fundamentally contrary to what I think one of our most closely held American ideals are. And that is everybody is entitled to equality of rights and opportunity under the law. I want to give thanks to the Seneca Project for giving us permission to use this. There's some music in the background. This is long. Please stay with us. This is Charlie Kirk in his own words.
And I'll tell you one more thing that's on my mind tonight, and conservatives everywhere. The idea that people are saying, well, he was an extremist, or he was a racist, or he was a Nazi, or a misogynist, whatever. Charlie Kirk was a mainstream conservative Republican. He had views that are held by tens of millions of people, including more than half the country in the last election.
If I see a black pilot, I'm going to be like, boy, I hope he's qualified. It begs the question, when you see a black pilot, you wonder, you say, I hope they are qualified.
And in the spirit of affirmative action, we have Ramon and Cadillac are your two pilots. They've never flown before, but they are black.
If I'm dealing with somebody in customer service who's a moronic black woman, is she there because of her excellence, or is she there because of affirmative action?
I'm only here because of affirmative action. Yeah, we know. You do not have the brain processing power to otherwise be taken really seriously.
The war on white people continues.
You had to go steal a white person's slot to go be taken somewhat seriously.
We are raising a generation of weak people like Simone Biles.
LeBron James is a self-interested, narcissistic, and we know he's not very smart.
You're representing your nation. You're selfish sociopath.
Not very bright, not wise, not somebody of good character.
She is a shame to the country.
Blacks in America did not have the same rights they had today. Data shows they were actually better in the 1940s.
Let's get loud for Kyle Rittenhouse.
I'm also going to offer some context and some nuance about the death of George Floyd that no one dares to say out loud, which is that this guy was a scumbag.
Remember what BLM stands for? Burn, loot, and murder.
Now, does that mean it deserves to die? That's two totally different things. Of course not.
Prowling blacks go around for fun to go target white people. That's a fact.
There's no such thing as white privilege or racism, so.
Black people are allowed to talk about black culture in a way that white culture cannot. Black people can go up and say that there's a baby mama problem in black America, and white people are not allowed to say that. Oh, I just did. So what are you gonna do, cancel me? Black people are allowed to say.
I'm a grown man, I got way too much.
Black people are allowed.
Skin color now gets their own summertime celebration. Oh wow, look how far blacks have come. It has now become a racial complaining day.
Thomas Sowell and Justice Clarence Thomas are far better black role models to celebrate than Martin Luther King.
This guy is not worthy of a national holiday.
There's a mythology around MLK that does not warrant the reverence that he gets treated with in America.
We have a federal holiday to a guy that talked about race all the time.
Kirk describes King as, quote, a bad guy.
It's true. We celebrate the Civil Rights Act more than the American founding.
The country made a mistake when it passed the Civil Rights Act.
Also true.
The Democrats are not lifting a finger to remember the well over 100 people that have died in Texas Hill Country. The death toll likely would not have been as high if it wasn't for DEI.
Ketanji Brown Jackson is what your country looks like on critical race theory.
You're going to remove my appendix and you're a black lesbian?
Ketanji Brown Jackson is an embodiment of the tyranny
that we currently live on. She's an ideological, unintelligent, yet confident fanatic.
Why does Kirk believe passing the Civil Rights Act was a mistake? Now, again, apparently they don't listen to the show because we do that at least once a week, yeah, right?
So she wants to be the first ever black woman on the Supreme Court, yet she won't even admit that she's a woman.
The transgender movement is an introductory phase.
These doctors need to be put in prison
to get you to strip yourself of your humanity.
A Nuremberg-style trial
to mesh with machines.
Interestingly, I think there is an argument to bring back the MRS degree.
Reject feminism.
Young women need to get married at a younger age and start having kids.
Like, don't, like, oh, I'm studying sociology. No, you're not. We know why you're here.
Submit to your husband, Taylor. You're not in charge.
You will find a husband if you have the intent to find a husband.
You got
to
change your name. If not, you don't really mean it.
Democrat women want to die alone without children.
A lot of them are on birth control, too. And birth control, like, really screws up female brains, by the way.
It's really rich. I didn't know women not to complain 50 years ago. That's funny. We should tell them to stop freezing their eggs and start finding their partner earlier and have lots of babies.
Every single one of you need to make sure that your loved ones are not on birth control. So materially insane to think that one in five American women will be raped in their life.
It is. I agree.
No, meaning that they're lying about being raped. That
you're comparing abortion to the Holocaust.
Absolutely, I am. In fact, it's worse. It's worse.
Because Jewish donors have been the number one funding mechanism of radical, open border, neoliberal, quasi-Marxist policies. And by the way, this is my other problem with death penalty. It takes too long, too many appeals. It should be public. It should be quick. It should be televised. Well, at what age should you start to see public execution?
16. I think you could do it earlier. I think you maybe at age 12.
I want to watch that execution. That'll make my day better. A lot. I mean, Joe Biden is a bumbling, dementia-filled, Alzheimer's corrupt tyrant who should honestly be put in prison and or given the death penalty for his crimes against America.
The Democrat Party believes everything that God hates.
Like, we're dealing with maggots, vermin, and swine here. This is not, these are not good people. They're not even a little bit good. In fact, I know people that have come, that went to Haiti passively as, like, agnostic atheists, and they came back searching for Jesus because they saw, like, legit demonic activity. Kamala Harris wants to see the elimination of the United States of America.
Democrat Party supports everything that God hates.
There's not much you can do, folks. You have a government that hates you. You have a traitor as a president. Buy weapons. I keep on saying that.
As top Republicans reject any link between GOP rhetoric and Paul Pelosi assault. If some amazing patriot out there in San Francisco wants to really be a midterm hero, someone should go and bail this guy out. Native-born Americans, you better buy weapons, everybody. Have a lot of guns at your disposal. I would never leave your home without a weapon.
I think it's worth to have a cost of, unfortunately, some gun deaths every single year so that we can have the Second Amendment to protect our other God-given rights.
We actually need looser gun laws because I think that
free gun laws.
Oh, yeah.
They said, we have more guns at the Turning Point HQ than you can imagine. Yeah, if anyone ever tries to come, that will not end well.
Oh, no. Imagine the world without Joy Reid. Imagine the world without Sheila Jackson Lee or Michelle Obama or Ketanji Brown Jackson.
I am channeling the emotions of millions of conservatives who are angry. They knew Charlie. They love Charlie. They view Charlie as a mainstream conservative Republican.
What that man just said over those 6 minutes is mainstream. We are in deep, deep trouble. By the way, the gentleman at the end and the beginning of that was Scott Jennings, Trump apologist, Kirk apologist that is on CNN nearly nightly.
Our flags were at half staff in celebration of those principles at the direction of the President of the United States of America.
We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. And we're going to dig into folks that refuse to face reality about their platform size and the impact of their speech. And let me be clear here. For any Democratic-leaning podcaster out there calling for violence, you should be condemned. That is disgusting. But we continue this correct grappling with reality on the other side. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay with us.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal.
Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
My problem is I don't ever eat fish fries, so when I do it, I overdo it. I ordered a large perch, I ate everything on my plate, and I felt like I wanted to die. And now I don't want to eat fish again, maybe ever.
I know it's a staple to get breaded fish, but if you don't get the bread on it, you know, you can kind of get away with eating more.
I'm not trying to gain weight for football here. I'm like, I just want to have a nice meal.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Don. You're listening to The Maggie Don Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is your last chance on the last free ticket Friday of the summer to get four free tickets. The Brewers versus the Cincinnati Reds, Friday, September 26th, as they try to clinch the division and skip the wild card. That game is at 7:10. Text this word via the Civic Media app that you can get for free wherever you get your apps from. B-R-E-W, Brew, as in the Brew Crew. I hope they beat those dastardly Cardinals tonight. Again, the word to win via the app, text it in via the app, Brew, B-R-E-W. You will be qualified to win four tickets to the Brewers versus the Cincinnati Reds Friday, September 26th at 7:10. I'm with former U.S. Attorney James Santel. We're going to extend the conversation that we're having into the second hour. There is so much sound. There is so much context. And it's challenging to get through all of this in the segments that we've got. So I appreciate all of you sticking with us. Over the last hour, we have listened to voluminous sound of both President Trump and Charlie Kirk saying awful, awful things. The very things that conservatives accused Democrats of saying in the wake of Charlie Kirk's killing. And we've done this in service of this important, important concept. It is not hate speech to call hate speech out. It is not hate speech to describe what Donald Trump and Project 2025 is moving us towards as fascistic or authoritarian. That is not hate speech. And to be very plain about this, there is no elected Democrat that I am aware of that has said anything, not a whisper of anything that comes even close to what Donald Trump has said in even one of the series of sounds that we've played for you this afternoon. So this is not about extremism from the left. Now, are there podcasters and folks out there that are saying abhorrent things? Sure, but these are not the president, the vice president. These are not people reaching tens of millions of people every day on their platforms. They're not people that the president seeks for advice, like Stephen Miller or Laura Loomer. That's not who's saying this. The people with the platforms and the power, with titles of president, vice president, senior advisor to the president, Stephen Miller, that is where we are hearing this language from, and it has been so for a long time. And it is my opinion, we're going to continue to explore this, that the reason we are in the political climate that we find ourselves in today is because for far too long, too many people have tolerated disrespect and, yes, hate speech towards marginalized and historically disempowered groups of people under the guise of, quote, free speech, diversity of thought, and political differences. It was the right that for the last decade would scream about cancel culture, which our guest yesterday referred to as consequence culture, that your speech has consequences. Passing off bigotry as political differences and demanding respect for such bigotry minimizes and incentivizes violence towards marginalized and historically disempowered communities and individuals.
Describing the qualities of people in government, Ketanji Brown Jackson, Associate Justice of the United States Supreme Court, suggesting to America that she is there because of the color of her skin. Have we spoken? We have, Maggie. You and I have on broadcasts about this woman's amazing accomplishments, academic, judicial, as a major leader in this nation, and suggesting that she is there because of the color of her skin, advocating for the reversal of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, rolling back the very legislation that ensured that people in those disenfranchised communities have access to all that is America, advocating, as so many things, advocating for the assassination, the killing of a president. His name is Joe Biden. I happen to know, as we discussed in the break, that's in violation of federal criminal law. And there's more.
It is in violation of federal criminal law. And yet, the Biden administration didn't seek to get Charlie Kirk off the air. They didn't seek to prosecute them.
Right.
And let's just be clear. Before we run out of time in this hour, we're going to pick this conversation back up on the other side. We're going to go to the text lines and the phone line. So if you're there, please stay there. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Let's be really clear. Brendan Carr, when writing in Project 2025, in response to conservative concerns about consequence culture when they say bigoted things, wrote that the FCC should promote freedom of speech. It is an independent regulatory agency. He wrote this on X in 2022. President Biden is right. Political satire is one of the oldest and most important forms of free speech. It challenges those in power while using humor to draw more people into this discussion. That's why people in influential positions, like an FCC chair, have always targeted for censorship. Here's Charlie Kirk. Hate speech does not legally exist in America. There's ugly speech, there's gross speech, there's evil speech, and all of it is protected by the First Amendment. Keep America free. Brendan Carr, again, in 2019, should the government censor speech it doesn't like? Of course not. The FCC does not have a roving mandate to police speech in the name of public interest. Remember that? We're coming back on the other side. We're going to dig into what censorship is and is not, and what exactly is going on here. What is the big picture that we all need to be seeing together? I'm Maggie Dawn with former U.S. Attorney James Santel. We continue this discussion of what it means to be truly free.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The CDC Vaccine Advisory Panel voted to recommend Americans get the COVID-19 shot based on individual-based decision-making. It's not clear on how those changes will impact insurance. ABC medical contributor Dr. Darian Sutton.
The CDC Advisory Committee voted to abandon recommendations for COVID-19 vaccinations, but still allow adults to get a vaccine based off of individual choice. Now, what's important to understand here is that although that makes it possible for those who want to get it, that does make it more difficult to understand whether or not that would be covered by insurance. Their recommendations typically are followed by insurance coverage, and now they're withdrawing that recommendation, then makes it possible to compromise insurance coverage.
The House passed a short-term government funding bill ahead of the shutdown deadline at the end of the month. The Senate, though, failing to advance the measure due to lack of support. Today, the Senate confirmed Mike Walls to be the next U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. This is ABC News.